News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings at 8.07. Good to have you along. Text line 251-343-0106. Feel free, and if you want to call the show too, the same line, 251-343-0106, and you can hop on the show if you like. We'll get to a number of things. Some of the stuff we've already discussed, we'll kind of discuss again, including the investigation in Orange, or maybe lack of investigation in Orange Beach over the mayor and his second residence, I guess you would say.
Office, I think.
Office. It's cloud seeding. It's interesting. So you say in the state of Texas, they've been doing this since 2004?
Yeah. Texas, since 2004, has conducted approximately 2,400 cloud seeding operations, primarily aimed at mitigating drought conditions. They say the efforts have reportedly increased water production by over 500,000 acre feet annually. So it's good for the agriculture and stuff, but when this tragedy happened this week, a lot more people started talking about cloud seeding, and then the CEO of this one company started to get a little more attention. So cloud seeding, which this is another one of those things where it's happening, and it's something you might not believe is happening, and if you start talking about it, people will tell you, it's not really happening. And yeah. You don't have to worry about that kind of thing. But it's been going on for decades now. And I think
it's a real thing, and it's a real company that does it.
And if they really explain to people why they're doing it, and if there were some actual bounds, you know, on a lot of these things, it's something that I haven't been studying for a long time. I'll admit that. Cloud seeding, they'll use materials like silver iodide, potassium iodide, dry ice, or even like table salt, and they'll put it in clouds. They said seeding is effective only in clouds that contain droplets super cool below 0 degrees Celsius, liquid water colder than freezing. Once introduced, these particles trigger ice crystal formation. They accumulate moisture and eventually fall as snow or rain. Now, they say Texas has been doing it for some time. I believe a lot of Western states are known to do it. California, Colorado, Utah, Nevada. You know, the places that
drought.
They get droughts.
Yeah.
But internationally, China is well known for it. And they were even using it, they said, to ensure favorable weather conditions for events like the 2008 Beijing Olympics. They wanted to get it rainy before so that it would look nicer when it was on TV.
Green.
So that it would be more green. Yeah.
If you could see the green through the smog, good luck.
And the UAE, most well known for it. And that's where I think I was discussing it last hour. I don't know if you remember when their airport flooded and there were planes, like stationary planes, or were meant to be stationary, sliding off of the runway and where they were because it was raining so hard there. I believe that followed a cloud seeding operation. In 2019 alone in the UAE, they had 247 cloud seeding missions launched. And you have a lot of other countries that do it as well. So that's kind of a baseline where you start.
We can get into that right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so Augustus Dorico, he's the CEO of, you know, so who is doing the cloud seeding? Well, the company's called Rainmaker Technology. So that's pretty upfront. So he's the CEO of Rainmaker Technology Corporation, basically engineering the weather is what they're doing. And he will be responding to scrutiny surrounding a cloud seeding mission his company conducted just 2 days before the catastrophic floods we saw on the 4th of July. Rainmaker confirmed it flew a 20-minute cloud seed mission on July the 2nd over Karnes County, located southeast of the flood zone. Now, the operation targeted two clouds that reportedly dissipated later that afternoon. No further flights were conducted. And again, the floods were a day and a half, 2 days later. So Dorico was asked, did Rainmaker conduct any operations that could have impacted the floods? His simple answer is no. But still, the timing has fueled rampant speculation online. Critics want to know, could the July 2nd flight, however brief, or distant, could that flight have influenced the deadly storm and the deadly storm system that followed? Now, a veteran Houston meteorologist, Travis Herzog, he weighed in this week. So you call on the expert, you say, look, they're cloud seeding. There were cloud seeding in the area 2 days before this flood happened. Was there any connection? Here's what Herzog said. Cloud seeding cannot create a storm of this magnitude or size. In fact, cloud seeding cannot even create a single cloud, Herzog said. All it can do is take an existing cloud and enhance rainfall by up to 20%. And even that is on the high end. And I don't know if the fact that it was 2 days earlier, the lifespan of clouds, it's never occurred to me to ever think about that. But well, if you do,
they're always on the move.
You do some cloud seeding on the 2nd of July, could it affect that same area 2 days later? Herzog says no. Mm-hmm. And also Dorico says no as well, the CEO of Rainmaker Technology.
Yeah, this is another one of those things, kind of like, well, Epstein and so many other cases we've been talking about. And I hate that, you know, we're talking about what America's talking about.
Yeah.
And more specifically, we're talking about what our listeners like to talk about. And I don't think we're any crazy conspiracy theory dudes, but you got to call a strike and a ball sometimes and how things look. And so even if this particular cloud seeding operation had nothing to do with that storm, I think we can all agree it's kind of a bad look.
It is.
Especially when you have so many people who perished.
This is the biggest, one of the biggest tragedies in the history of that state.
Mm-hmm.
They still have 170 missing, and no one has been found alive since Friday. Mm. So you would assume that's 170 more that would go on top of the total of deaths.
Absolutely
and
awful.
This is really it's a very well-to-do camp, too.
And I
a lot of politicians, mm-hmm. politicians from around the country, people of means send their children to that camp.
Yeah, some former athletes as well were involved, like had family there, I believe.
Yeah.
Country music singer's brother ended up. But I didn't even know Snopes was still around, the fact-checking site. And I think we can all agree that if Snopes says something is true or false, that it's definitely true or false. I say that kind of sarcastically. But they've already taken a hold of this. And the claim, Rainmaker Technology Corporation's cloud seeding mission caused deadly flooding in parts of Texas. And they say it's false. Context, Rainmaker did carry out a cloud seeding mission over south central Texas on July 2nd. The company CEO confirmed, but meteorologists say cloud seeding was not responsible for the powerful storms that led to deadly flooding in Texas. And I don't know enough to say, you know, like you, I don't know what effect it has going forward once you do some cloud seeding, or if it is, like they said, just whatever cloud it is, that's the only one affected by this. But it's been happening more and more often, actually, to the point where Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who I know a lot of people like to poke fun at, and sometimes that's well warranted, but not all the time. And she announced, let's see when she put this one up there. Yeah, this was over the weekend as well. She plans to introduce federal legislation to ban weather modification and geoengineering practices, reviving long-running conspiracy theories about government manipulation of natural disasters. When I was looking into this, there was also a story about Operation Popeye. Have you ever heard about that? During the Vietnam War, the U.S. military conducted a covert cloud seeding operation named Operation Popeye to extend the monsoon season over enemy territory, aiming to disrupt supply routes. So it's been happening, and that was back in the Vietnam War that U.S. military was using it to their advantage in warfare. I don't know about a complete ban, because it sounds like it could be useful and has been useful in a lot of these areas with drought, long-term drought-like conditions. Why is it so secretive? And maybe it's so secretive because of this, because when people start talking about it, they start to
Wiggle.
Theorize.
Theorizing, the CEO and that company's wiggling uncomfortably, like, oh my God, of all days for this terrible flood.
But if
we're going to get caught up in all this.
But if they did it the other way and were very open and told everyone exactly what they're doing, and you know when cloud seeding operations are happening, and there are limits placed on it. I mean, we have guidelines on so many stupid things, mm-hmm. so many rules and laws out there. But you have these operations going on that no one really knows about, and that leads to conspiracy theories.
You're right.
And
you're
I don't know if, you know, like I said, I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory or not, if this had anything to do with it or not. I'm not smart enough to tell you that, but it has caused a lot of people to ask a lot of questions.
So, and please ask your questions on the text line, 251-343-0106. And some of you out there, I guarantee you, you know, there are some of you that know more about this whole operation of cloud seeding than probably Dalton and I, either one of us or together. But if you have some level of expertise, and, you know, we don't mind people just shouting for the sake of shouting, but if you actually have an understanding of all this, and is it done in Alabama? Is it done in South Alabama?
We get so much rain anyway.
Naturally, we get a lot of rain, but we do have periods of drought, which can, and look in the state of Florida, mm-hmm. Drought or freezing conditions can wipe out a crop. So I don't know. I do not know. We talk to Vince Allegri every Monday. That he's in the business of produce for sure.
There's some farmers who wouldn't mind a little extra rain when it's dry.
No kidding. Yeah. So I don't know any of that, but on the text line, let us know what you know, and we'll get to your text.
Yeah, Ricky, good text actually, Ricky. I don't know if it would work this way either. He said we could use the cloud seedings to stop forest fires.
I've heard that before.
A texter here, and of course I can't verify this. I haven't done as much digging as you probably, said they tried to seed Hurricane Camille while it was all sure. This is the text. That worked out real well. Oh, while it was forming out in the Gulf, they tried to seed Hurricane Camille. I have not heard that. Keith asking, you know, what do they do with cloud seeding? So I said that early in the hour. Maybe you just tuned in. Basically, they use salt and other materials to freeze parts of the cloud. And then once that thaws out, you get rain.
Oh, okay.
And so that's kind of what it sounds like
okay.
to me. Text here, Joey says, it says in the Bible that the closer we get to the end days, the worse natural disasters are going to get. Storms, earthquakes, and volcanoes. Let's see. King of all unnamed texters. Looks like some kind of bridge construction on the causeway in front of the battleship. What is that? So that's not the big bridge project. That's not the big I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project. That bridge out in front of the battleship, they are replacing.
Yeah.
It's just worn out. It's worn out. It's
yeah,
welcome,
new
I guess.
One's coming, yeah.
So that's a smaller project that's been going on for some time.
It's got to be three or four cranes out in the water, right? I mean,
I'm not sure what
it looks like a big deal.
What the ETA is on that either?
Yeah, I don't know. I really haven't heard of that. That whole project much? Any timeline on that?
Jason says. Well, I want to get to one of Jason's other texts. We'll get to that here in a minute. But okay. Said if we're going to talk cloud seeding, we should add chemtrails to the convo too. You know, these are things that I wish I would had the. I guess I have the time if I make the time, but would dig more into. There's so much information out there about these different quote-unquote conspiracy theories and so much information to get you to look the other way, too, that I haven't put the time in to look into a lot of these for fear of dead ends and wastes of time. But, Jason, maybe you can call in and talk a little chemtrails if you'd like. But Jason's text from earlier, maybe this will get some folks talking as well. He said, good morning, guys. Locally, we need somebody to get a handle on all of the reckless city, county, and state take-home cars. Let's get Mr. Matrenga, who's one of my favorites, Nick Matrenga, the license commissioner, or a county commissioner on and have them explain why a county inspector or employee of any kind needs a take-home vehicle. He said, I witnessed them on 158 doing 80-plus regularly, and efforts to report them go unanswered. This is also a huge problem at MCPSS with the superintendent giving out cars to his friends. That's from the text. I haven't heard anything about that. Why are we paying for gas for these employees to go shopping on the weekends? It's lunacy. And he said, and the school employees aren't in Ford Fiestas. They're in Tahoes, Expeditions, and New Explorers. Other than the police department, nobody should have take-home vehicles.
So it sounds like two issues here. He doesn't like the idea that all these county employees are going to take home vehicles. I don't know what that number is, by the way. But the other thing, that's what got my attention, was that when they're in these vehicles, for some reason, they feel more brazen to drive as fast as they wish.
Like a rental.
Yeah. Like, hey, you know, I'm going to go do what I want to do. It says Mobile County on the side of it. Some of them do, I guess.
Yeah. Good question there, Jason. 251-343-0106. Plenty more texts to get to and plenty more stories as well. Trump holding court again yesterday with that cabinet meeting.
Yeah. I kind of like those things.
I do, too.
Very transparent.
I did think he kind of stuck his foot in his mouth a little bit on the Epstein thing. He also talked about Milley and a whole lot more. Plus, you have the former CIA director and FBI director now under criminal investigation. That's a big story.
I think that's going to go away anytime soon. 822, Dan and Dalton. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile mornings at 827. 251-343-0106. We'll get to the phone lines here in just a moment.
Yeah, and looking at the text line, you know, earlier we were also talking about big weekend on Pensacola Beach with the air show and the Blue Angels flying, well, a lot of this week, but the big show on Saturday. So this morning, breakfast with the Blues. Tomorrow they'll have a practice flight over water, and then Friday the full dress rehearsal. Main show Saturday, and the aerial demonstration start at 10:30 Saturday morning. The Blue Angels will fly later that day, 2:00 in the afternoon. And I've seen the Blue Angels. I don't think I've seen a full show from them. I've seen a few Thunderbirds, the Air Force Thunderbird shows. One of them, my brother's graduation at the Air Force Academy, and I'm not afraid to say, brought some freedom tears to my eyes on that one. But the Blue Angels, fantastic as well. And there's been some documentaries actually out on both flight teams, Thunderbirds and Blue Angels, that are really worth checking out. But I have a lot of friends, a few friends from Pensacola, who go down every year and check the whole week out. You know, I have not made it down there, but several of you are headed down this weekend and would love to hear from you after, too. This texter said, I'm going again. I've seen them 30 times, maybe.
That's amazing, because you think that you know the show, and you at some point you're underwhelmed, but it keeps going back.
It's tough to be underwhelmed with what they're doing in the skies. This is Jack. He said, leaving the house at 6:30 in the morning from Fall River and going by boat. Going to be a great day. The folks who get out there and watch by boat, I hear, get a great view.
I've done it one time,
He said, it is a great way to watch, and it's five times better when you anchor out in the Gulf off of Pensacola Pier. So very cool, and it's always a great, great time, I'm sure.
Let's go to James the Engineer real quick. You got about a minute and a half, James. Go ahead.
I hope I can do it in a minute and a half. Good morning to y'all.
Hey, James, what's up, man?
Here we go. JFK, Oswald killed him. But I want to know how Oswald got a shot from the front. It's all a lie. Epstein, here we go. I know about this part here a little bit, but what did he have in his cell? A blanket and a mattress. How did he hang himself with a blanket? And the question would be, who was paying attention? Mobile County, the city, they all have cameras in themselves. Hmm. We had a situation the same way in Mobile, if you go back and dig up a little history. Now, I'm coming to the cloud thing.
Okay.
When I was in the military, they passed around this thing, and they collected, the Army did, about the reduction of population. What does the salt do during a storm on the beaches? It burns the grass. If salt alone will do that, and that's in, and what is the parts per million when you tell me that it only affects 20% of the cloud? How much is that in water volume?
Yeah, I think they talk
20%. 20% would be probably a lot more than what they're telling us.
Yeah, all valid.
All beyond
I
me.
I suppose. Thank you, James. all beyond me. I think in the story they said 20% of the rainfall it's affected. I think that's what they said.
Appreciate it, James.
8:30, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday. Halfway there, y'all. Well, started the workday, but halfway through the week almost. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are doing just fine here at 65 and Airport and up on Dolphin Street. Y'all got it going on, too. Some good deals on trucks right now at McConnell Automotive.
That's right. $10,000 off. I mean, who's heard of something like that? During COVID, you didn't have that, but now you do. Also have some 0%. I mean, we're going to be doing a lot of promotions on these new trucks, and we've got a bunch of them, half tons and three-quarter tons. Got some great deals on used cars, too. You can check all that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions on anything, give us a call, 251-476-4141.
And no shenanigans, right? When someone comes out to buy a vehicle, you don't mess around.
That's right. You know, this $10,000 truck off is sitting right over there. I'm sitting here looking at it right now. So, you know, a lot of dealers, they kind of advertise a little bit. You get there and it's not there. Well, it's here. I promise you. Like I said, I'm sitting here looking at it. So come by and check it out. $10,000 off or 0%. So we got the stuff going on. So come see us. McConnell Automotive.
Yeah.
I-65.
I like to come out and just take a ride around the lot every so often because you got some great stuff up there. Hey, Louie, we appreciate it. Have a good day.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him. McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and their website great as well, McConnellAutomotive.com.
837 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. A lot of things still to get to. We will talk with Jeff Poore at the end of the hour and preview his show and see what's going on with Jeff, who comes on about 9:06 every weekday morning following us. President Donald Trump, this may have come from yesterday's conversation he was having.
The cabinet meeting?
The cabinet meeting was kind of wide open. I kind of enjoy those. Maybe not. That's where he was talking with Pam Bondi.
Mm-hmm. Epstein.
And the Epstein thing came out, right? And he interrupted her and interjected about why are you guys still talking about Epstein?
Yeah, and Sean hammered this pretty good yesterday on Midday Mobile. It was right after that audio from that meeting. And they spent quite a bit of time talking about the flooding in Texas and the loss of life. And the president expected or will be visiting that region at the end of this week. So they talked about that quite a bit. And I believe even touched on a couple other subjects. And then a reporter hopped up and asked about the Epstein case and how it was just closed. You know, they Sunday night said there's really nothing to it and put out that video that now a lot of people, I believe, think that video that they posted is from right outside of Epstein's door. The way I understand it, the video they released Sunday night was one from further away from his cell door. But you could see it from there, is from what I understand.
Is the one where Hillary walks in? That's fake.
that was a meme. Yeah, that was a fake AI where there was a minute missing. Okay, yeah,
so the people are filling in the minute now.
They release these hours and hours and hours, and at one point it goes from 11:59 to 12.
Yeah,
and I believe they asked Bondi about that. It was all one question, and the question was directed towards the Attorney General Pam Bondi, who I think is over her head. Maybe you have a different opinion.
There are people who are saying that now.
A lot of good things happening with the DOJ, but I will say she has made, I think, some mistakes. But the president interrupted before Bondi was able to answer, and I thought it was kind of a bad move from Trump. He said, "Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?" And basically was saying that's old news. Like, we're talking about what's going on in Texas. We have these wars going on around the world. We have a lot of great things happening in America, which I can't dispute. There are some really, really big wins here recently for the Trump administration. You were talking about the hiring levels yesterday and how many Americans are getting jobs while illegals have been losing jobs. But Trump, I think he is way off on this. And, you know, there's all kinds of theories about who and why and what and how this is going. But now we're to the point where Mr. 20 Minutes Late on Everything, Jake Tapper, is diving into this Epstein thing. It's so funny because all of these people for years, there's nothing to it, there's nothing to it, there's nothing to it. And then now Tapper, who recently realized that Biden was mentally compromised and wrote a book about it, about the cover-up. Now he's saying, oh, we need to dive a little further into this Epstein thing. Oh, you think? But I didn't think that was great from Trump yesterday, that particular moment where he's like, will you people just move on?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's not something people feel like, number one, that they want to move on from. So many questions. And number two, I thought you said we were going to get to the bottom of it. That was part of what he, I don't know. If
that was the campaign
promise, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Bondi came out kind of blowing and going early on with the idea that we're going to get to the bottom of this. And I think she's kind of out of step right now with what Trump wants, because I think she's still acting like, yeah, there's more to get to. And Trump's like, no, no, no.
Well, yeah, she was asked whether intelligence had any role in this. And she said, well, she did basically when a child asks a parent, can I do this? And you go, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
She said, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I don't. James texting in this morning, who I guess has been banned from our Facebook page. I have nothing to do with that, James, just so you know. I read pretty much every text James sends out. But he sends a meme, and this has been a common refrain from the left on this Epstein thing. Well, Trump must be all over it if they're not releasing it. He must, and so he sends this meme. He says, face it, MAGA, if your president's name weren't all over the Epstein files, they would have been released, unredacted, printed, and bound in special edition signed by Trump, recorded as an audiobook by James Woods and Mel Gibson, and tattooed on Lauren Boebert's butt. Parts of that are funny, but I disagree.
No, because
you know, Biden had this stuff too. The Biden administration had this.
Why would they not?
You don't think they would have used that against Trump?
They would not have suppressed that against Trump.
Had the opportunity.
I don't think so.
My favorite theory.
I mean, they made things up.
I think
in 2017, would you rather make things up and have a big collusion and people have to sign off and all this? Or just it's in your lap.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not just do that?
I think the most likely
answer
theory.
Answer the question, please, James.
Most likely theory is that it was an intelligence op and there is no evidence.
Yeah.
I think that's most likely. My favorite theory would be that Trump has the goods on a lot of people now, and he's using it to leverage America for the good of America, holding it over other world leaders and important people. Remember, Prince Andrew took a massive fall for this, and now they're saying that's all there is to it. It was just Epstein and Maxwell.
He was the first pick in the draft, and then the draft went away.
And then the draft
went
away.
Poor guy.
But I also think that, you know, with the intelligence involvement and everything, it's just another one of those things we won't ever get to the bottom of. And there's just going to continue to be conspiracies or theories on this. But what is clear to me is there's a lot more to it than what the Trump administration is putting out there.
Yeah, that's exactly what Jeff's guest yesterday. Some people had quite a reaction to Baron Coleman, who is a gentleman who, once you get down, you're saying, hey, you want to talk about conspiracy theories? No matter what it is.
He's down.
He's kind of like, you. Jeff takes him off the bench and says, go get him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Coleman yesterday.
I think the key to Epstein is that it's not Epstein. It's so much deeper and bigger than Epstein. Epstein was one small tentacle of a very large global compromise and blackmail operation. And they're not going to compromise that entire system to out the details of one single component of it.
I heard here's an interesting theory that I heard yesterday from a friend, that it's almost like an appointed position, what Epstein was doing.
Mm.
Diddy was in line. So Epstein was the appointee, and then they said, okay, we've used him up. Now,
You're gone.
And next in line, Hollywood's pretty ripe for this kind of thing. Let's bring Diddy in. So anyway, that's just, theory.
And whatever you think, you know, the ties between Maxwell and Epstein and Mossad are just there. There's no disputing that. Her father was a major player in the Israeli spy agency.
Right.
And of course, Mossad and the CIA work hand in glove in many instances. So.
Well, they did something in Iran recently.
Mm-hmm.
You may have seen that.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot to say about that. There's also, you know, what if there are just so many important people, world leaders, the Bill Gates of the world, so many people tied into this that it would be earth shattering.
Catastrophic.
Like, that people would just completely lose it.
Lose all faith in everything.
Would have no north compass anymore. I think that's also probably a likely part of this as well. But Trump was, a lot of yesterday. So you had the announcement that that Comey and Brennan are now under criminal investigation for that Russiagate.
Yep.
Specifically, they're going after the former CIA director Brennan over what seems like a pretty clear case of perjury, as he was actually one of those leading the charge to get this Russiagate collusion investigation underway during the Trump-Hillary election. And then in front of Congress said that he didn't want that out there. You know, he completely perjurized himself. So it sounds like they're using that as a starting point. There's a lot less out there on what the goods they have on Comey are. And to tie kind of this together, you know, it's Comey's daughter, lead prosecutor for the Southern District of New York, on the Epstein case, Maxwell case, and Diddy case.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So there's
that. If I knew that, I forgot it. Holy blank.
But a lot of people who wanted to see Trump go after some of these folks are, I don't know, maybe this is kind of the beginning of that. He also went after Milley yesterday.
Yeah, he went after Milley because they were talking about the end in Afghanistan, which, you know, Trump was on the sidelines at that point. Biden was president. It was August of 2001.
21.
2021, I'm sorry, you're right, 2021. And so Trump just observed it all, but he recalled, the headline was, I think it was in Fox News, said the moment Trump realized Milley was an idiot. Mm. So this is Trump recalling a conversation with Milley, I guess, while Trump was still in office, and they were batting around the idea of what to do in Afghanistan, when they're going to do it and all that. And this is Trump.
But with all that equipment that they left, they should have taken every ounce of it. I was taking every, and I said, every screw, every bolt, every nail you take out of there. And Milley said, I remember one time, sir, we're better off leaving the equipment. Why? Well, it's cheaper. I said, cheaper? You mean it's cheaper to leave a $150 million airplane rather than flying into Pakistan or India or someplace, or just flying it straight home is cheap? Yes, sir. That's when I knew he was an idiot. Didn't take long to figure that one out. But they left all that equipment, but they left their dignity behind. It was the most embarrassing moment, in my opinion, in the history of our country.
That was a...
Yeah,
that was a tough moment.
And Apple would like it if you left your phone everywhere you went, too, because then you're going to have to buy a new phone. So...
Yeah,
you leave all your military equipment, you're going to have to buy new military equipment.
Yeah.
It's obvious who benefits from a lot of that. But I wonder if Milley...
cheaper, sir. I like Trump's impersonation of Milley.
And Milley, you know, he might be next on the investigation block. Remember the treason with China and reaching out to them and saying, hey, I'll let you know if Trump decides to act on anything.
That was Milley.
Chief
Joint of Staff.
So, this Tony Kennett thing...
Chiefs of Staff.
We're really going to, with Rob Hulbert tomorrow, talk more about this, maybe some discussion with Jeff. Of course, it is campaign silly season, and Kennan does have a competitor in his race for Orange Beach mayor. But Lanyap had a story that came out yesterday that a lot of folks are talking about, and it has to do with Kennan in this, I guess, second office that they're saying he has that was not approved by the city council. But the details on this are what people are talking about, and Rob Hulbert, Kyle Hamrick writing this, and just to kind of summarize it, so there was a domestic disturbance call last Labor Day involving a naked man allegedly assaulting a woman outside of the Orange Beach Coastal Resources Building, and they're saying it's apparently Mayor Kennan's second city-owned office. Although his name didn't appear in initial reports, body cam footage and police records reveal an unidentified man inside shouted to police when they arrived, "This is Tony Kennan."
Yeah.
Through the door and claimed his wife was fine. Police later apologized to Miss Kennan for failing to make contact.
Yeah, kind of a follow-up call to see if she was okay.
There's allegedly body cam evidence, allegations of improper handling of evidence, I believe. The mayor is yet to comment, I think. City officials, including his opponent in the upcoming mayoral race, Jeff Boyd, confirmed the office is exclusively used by Kennan, but says they were unaware of what he does there. Some city insiders allege he exerts control over the police and has used on-duty officers for personal assistance, personal drivers, I think they said. Meanwhile, city records show no council approval for Kennan's use of the office. A lot of you, if you're an Orange Beach voter, what do you think about this story? 251-343-0106. We'll have Rob on tomorrow. I'm sure we'll talk about it some then. But
I really don't know the... You know, when you've been in office a long time, no matter how people thought of you in the beginning or in the middle or whatever, that can change. A little fatigue, you know. I mean, Kennan's been a fairly popular mayor.
He has been, yeah. I've liked a lot of what Kennan's done.
And so he's done things that a lot of people that listen to the station have agreed with. At the same time, I don't know what the feeling of, people are affectionate toward Tony Cannon. They think he's more than just a mayor, that he really has got their back, and that would give people a certain feeling, not just a vote, but like, no, leave my guy alone. He's mm-hmm. my guy. But others may not feel that way, and I'm sure that there's more than one opinion on Mayor Cannon, but we are coming up on an election, and it's interesting what Boyd had to say, too. Boyd was a guest on the Jeff Poore Show maybe a week ago when he announced his candidacy on FM Talk, I believe. It's when he did it. And Boyd said that I've never been invited to that office. I think I saw it when the building first opened. That may be the only time I ever saw it. So he's talking about the office that Cannon uses for whatever reasons.
Let me hammer out some text, then we'll get to Jeff right after this break. Texter here, Barry, says it doesn't matter because no one is going to jail. Well, there's one person in jail. That's Ghislaine Maxwell. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Squirrel Vereen says Bondi is cute, and I don't really care about Epstein because he is dead either way. Squirrel Vereen. Nice. I like that text. Yeah. Bucky said, if Hillary Clinton came in my cell, I would hang myself. John.
Man.
That's a pretty funny text, John, that I don't think I can read on the air. CB Carl says, when I was home ported in Gulfport, I got to see the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds together at Keesler.
Wow.
That was an awesome display of air power.
I was in Seattle one time, and the Blue Angels were there.
Cool.
And there's a lake not far from downtown Seattle. There's water everywhere in Seattle. But anyway, I didn't get a chance to see the show, but I saw traffic going that way, and they performed right over that lake in the middle
That's
of the city.
Sick.
Amazing.
Yeah.
When I watched the news that night.
Yeah, if you go down this weekend, that's great. I've got to do it at some point.
You really do.
But those documentaries are really good, too. I think the Blue Angels one is on Amazon, and there's a new Netflix one on the Thunderbirds, too, that's worth checking out. What they do is really just unreal.
Yeah. I mean, inches from each other, mm-hmm. right? Whew. 853 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings, and we will talk with Jeff Poore on the way next. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 855 on Mobile Mornings.
Coming up, Jeff Poore Show on the way, and another great guest list on for today's show. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
So who will be on with you today?
Travis Johnson. This will talk about the IRS no longer enforcing its political guidelines for churches. I want to talk about that. Kind of interesting. Joy Clarker, Wednesday regular, and from Vocal. It's a victims' rights organization, victims of crime, violent crime. Wanda Miller, going to get her to react to Kay Ivey, sort of just decision not to reappoint Lee Gwofdi, who was very popular among that crowd. With the guy, Hal Nash, in Jackson County. And just not without any explanation, my understanding is Lee Gwofdi found out with everybody else that she wasn't being reappointed.
Wow.
And this is just like, we're just going to do this. Why? We don't have to tell you. So we'll talk about that in the 11 o'clock hour.
Hallelujah is coming from AL.com over that decision, Jeff.
Surprisingly, no, and it kind of makes me wonder, like, I know Twitter's not real life, but sort of the left-wingers on social media, that this was a chronic complaint, was Lee Gwofdi for the last, like, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
She was very hard to get, you know, it was hard for this parole board under her. It was hard to get parole. So guys like Chris England, he's a Democrat lawmaker from Tuscaloosa, Beth Shelburne, who I went from like being this pretty news reporter in Birmingham to just this like total like crazy woman for prisoners online. None of these people are doing victory laps. Hmm. I'm really surprised by that.
Yeah, because it sounds like they're most upset that she just wasn't letting enough people out of jail.
Exactly. Alabama Appleseed, our friends Carla Crowder and that crew. Not a peep out of them, and I don't know what's going on there.
So, Dan and I, you know, we and I know you've commented on us talking about some conspiracy theories before, but right now America's talking about a lot of what were once considered conspiracy theories between the Epstein thing and a lot of cloud seeding talk and stuff. Like, what's your overall...
It's like open season.
Yeah, what's your overall view of kind of where we stand in America and distrust in our institutions?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a problem, and I think that's why guys like Trump get elected, right? I don't know about the cloud seeding stuff. I'm very... that's kind of, you know, settle down, but... It's like Epstein and mishandled, and you know you just look at the real prominent institutions in America. We don't trust Hollywood. They're always trying to force some kind of political message in their movies, like this latest Superman movie. Wall Street. I mean, they cook the books. We've been through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and other things. And then, you know, the political establishment, right? So I think there's just a high level of distrust. And that's where this stuff comes from.
And to top it all off, AI going a little haywire. Grok having a night last night, losing its absolute mind. So on top of all of that, now AI's on the way.
Yeah. Now AI's getting fussy with us.
Mr. AI got to save us all.
Have a great show, Jeff.
Thank you.
More Mobile Mornings tomorrow. Thanks for listening. 251-343-0106. Jump on with Jeff.